Be the right club. Be the right club today.
Yes! Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the No Laying Up Podcast, Players Championship Wrap. At the end of this episode, we will have a interview with Kiradek Apibonrat. I'll put in the description what minute that interview starts at if you wanted to skip over all of our bullshit. But we're going to wrap up the Rory's win at the Players' Championship. Somebody wrote in this week and said we always just assume that people know who's talking. And we need to introduce ourselves on the podcast.
That's a fair take.
That's a very fair take.
This is DJ Pajowski, age 31, Neptune Beach, Florida.
Hello, my name is Tron.
And I will be reading the part of Big Randy today.
Since this is all performance art, anyways.
I'm Solly, and let's roll right into it. We got a lot of good listener voicemails, and we're just going to roll right into those.
All right, lads, this is James in Charlotte. I just wanted to call and check in on that guy the other week that was asking if Rory was dead. I want that guy to come on with his tail between his legs and just apologize to everyone, himself, his family, everyone he's let down. All right, cheers.
Are we sure that wasn't Rory himself?
Wonderful Charlotte accent he had.
That was. I love that part of the country. That's great.
Do we have a bridge straight into something?
Yeah, I mean, let's just roll into the next voicemail, should we?
Hey, guys. Jeff from Massachusetts called in a few weeks ago saying Rory was dead. I was wrong. He's very much alive. My apologies to Solly and the British guy. Few weeks ago, who was pretty upset about my proclamation.
James from England.
Egg on my face.
Why did he only apologize to you?
I think because I was the most adamant that he wasn't dead.
It takes a big man to apologize. I think that's cool.
Are you
going to
apologize? Because you called him dead.
Yeah.
Did Randy call him dead?
No, he said, I went back and listened, because people, I think, are very confusing that we had declared Rory dead. Or maybe everyone else is also involved.
We should say
in the
that we don't condone, you know, anything. Any voicemails that appear on this podcast are not the property of No Laying Up. They're not. We don't, you know, condone those.
Retweets do not equal endorsements.
Retweets do not equal endorsements.
This isn't The Sixth Sense.
Exactly.
With you know, M. Night Shyamalan.
Around the 7:45 minute mark of the Mexico pod, Randy did say this question was introduced by our friend in Massachusetts, and Randy did say if he doesn't win a major this year, he's dead. And now he has.
Oh, gosh. You're in quite a pickle now.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Are you going to declare it the fifth major?
No, it's for sure not a major. No, a good win. I can't help but feel... I did declare him the McRicky last week, although Ricky has won a Players as well. So I'm not... We're just going to take a wait-and-see approach. I think that's all we can do at this point. We're monitoring the situation.
I don't know. I don't know what this means.
So you're saying he's on his deathbed, but it's touch and go.
No, I don't know if he's on his deathbed, but it may or may not be terminal. We don't know. We have to run some more tests. We might be seeking a second opinion.
You're a moron.
Big and Rich Lerner called it the best win of his career. Any thoughts there?
He doubled down, too.
That's stupid.
And he said, I know he's won four majors, but considering all he's come back from or something like that. Man, the hyperbole that's come out of the NBC Golf Channel the last couple of weeks has been remarkable.
Yeah, a lot of short-term memories.
If you can't be hyperbolic, though, talking about golf, like, what are we even, you know, what fun is it?
I feel like, yeah, well, he was standing on the 10th tee at Augusta in, 2010, 2011? Four shots up,
yeah,
completely imploded, Ikaritoed himself, lit himself on fire, and then he goes and wins the US Open by 8. Rich, basically his point was, oh God, all this baggage he's been carrying in, you know, he's just all this baggage, it felt like a lot of straw men, you know, I've had a lot of haters coming at me. It's like, well, not really, like yeah. you finished top 5 in 4 events, or like, I think everyone knows you're playing really well.
That was not a US Open.
Oh. I thought you were going to for sure go with, listen, Rich.
Listen, Rich.
Oh, there's a great interview. Rich, you know Rich.
If you can ever find it, the interview with Jim Thorpe
they
and Rich.
They scrubbed it from the internet.
And Rich Lerner talking about the tax evasion is an all-timer. Rich.
You know Rich. I just...
made some mistakes.
I disagree with what you just said, though. I feel like people have been getting on him for, like, top finish. Like, Present company included.
Like trolls on Twitter?
Yeah.
Like, who gives a shit?
People on here have been like, can't close and like, saying things like that.
Nobody said no. Didn't close and can't close are two different things.
I think 2 weeks ago we said how enthused we were with, like, I said personally, Ricky's hitting wedge shots that we haven't seen him hit in
Rory.
Like, or sorry, Rory's hitting wedge shots. Sorry. And I'm looking at Brandy
your,
over here.
Your boy.
You know, feathery wedge shots, distance control looks better, all of it. But going back to the Congressional U.S. Open, that was not a U.S. Open. It was the Quiggin Loans National presented by the USGA.
Okay.
Anyways, you can check the tape on some things we've said, and it's we've not declared him dead.
Well,
only...
don't do that. Don't check the tape.
Look who doesn't know.
Let's just move on. No, I don't know. I mean, I think I would hazard a guess to say that we said something to the effect of, man, that was a little weird. You would picture him winning those events, but he just kind of didn't hit the shots when he normally hits the shots. However, he's still Rory, and he's still, you know, he's still the world-class player, not even a world-class player. He's Rory. So, I mean, yeah, of course he can still do that, and he did today.
But don't check the tapes. Do not check the tapes.
But don't check the tapes. Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
I've been adamant that he's playing the best golf in the world, and I didn't expect him to win the Players.
Well, how cool for you then?
I feel good. I feel validated. And I feel like I'm
fluffing yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
don't injure your shoulder.
I absolutely will. So, and here he is. He's come out on the other side. I feel like it's just like kind of people have, you know, I've said this last several weeks. Like, people, if you don't win, like, people automatically start asking questions in this like post Tiger world. And
he's been in the lab.
I think he got crowned a little bit too. I'm going to say it.
Really?
I think Rom crowned him.
I don't know about that. What was the best moment of today? Today was super fun.
Easily Rom and yelling at his caddy. That was the best moment of the day.
The shot on Furyk shot into 18. That wasn't the best moment. Pepperell's putt on 17.
Vegas's putt
to, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah.
We just had Eddie on the podcast. We're all kind of, you know, we're all jacked up and rooting for him.
Can we? And we'll talk a little bit about Eddie, but he was even par after Thursday. Came over to the Kill House, did a podcast. It's great. It's going to go up on Tuesday night of this week. And then just played his ass off and almost won the golf tournament today. That was sick. That was
very
awesome.
Cool. Randy, how you feeling? I know you were a little, you know, I don't know if I really like watching golf. A little jebby. That had to be fun, no?
Yeah, it was all right. I was hoping for somebody to just blow up down the street. I mean, Rom was a little bit of a controlled burn, but...
After watching that tournament last year and then this iteration of it, it was night and day.
Yeah.
I was... My eyes were bleeding last year. No offense to Webb, who had a good defense. I think
he made it boring.
He just played too well.
Yeah,
I was hoping the conditions would buck their head a little bit.
Yeah,
more.
that's fair.
On that note, why don't we
let's keep moving.
Before we do, guys, can we talk about something?
Please,
sure.
Enlighten me.
OGO sent me a new backpack.
Okay,
and it is phenomenal. There, I discover new pockets every day. I keep all my books in there, my laptop. It's phenomenal.
As a man of letters, it's a very important thing to have is a good bag, a good knapsack.
For sure. Yeah. But I know I couldn't help but notice you use the golf bag.
I do. Yeah, you guys use the Callaway specific golf bags. Me, my associates Tron and Neil, I have switched into the new line of OGO golf bags. I think I don't speak for myself. We were very nervous about switching away from the Hyperlite bags. You guys probably all saw in Tour Sauce in Scotland. We got a ton of comments about those. They said, hey, there's this new OGO line, maybe take a look at these. I was like, hell no, I'm sticking to the Hyperlites. Then I saw the OGO ones, I was like, okay, these actually are pretty, they're just the same thing with more functionality. They have better straps than the Hyperlites. They have more room than the Hyperlites. They still feel nice and comfy. I mean, you know, we all go out, we all walk at Jack's Beach, and you can't do that without having some good straps on the golf bag.
I've been really proud of us. We've really dedicated to walking.
Yeah.
Summer's coming. We are not going to be walking.
Well, speak for yourself.
We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
OGO.com/golf for more information on that. Now you can roll
now,
the next
let's
question.
Keep, now let's keep moving.
Hey, this is Taylor from Augusta. I was just calling, watching the final round of the Players and just thinking of y'all's thoughts of moving it from May to March. Is it great? They need to go back. Keep up the great content, and thanks for listening. Bye.
I think thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Female callers are very much encouraged too.
For sure. We're all very excited to hear.
It's like
that.
Ladies night. You go right to the front of the line. Free drink.
First time, long time.
Yep.
Both for the show and just in life in general. This tournament belongs in March. Period. Point blank.
For sure. God, I thought that week was spectacular.
Tremendous.
This week, I'm with you. I wish it had gotten a little more biblical, a little windier. It sucks that even when it does get windy, it's not crazy firm. But a lot of players were kind of mixed on that. A lot of players are like, this golf course isn't meant to play firm. A lot of them were saying, if it's a true test, it's got to be firm. I don't know where you guys fall on that spectrum.
I very much fall in kind of the big Randy camp of like, this is entertainment. And like, I it's all theater. Like, this hole is a island green. Like, it's kind of a joke.
That's kind of where I'm at.
In that regard. Yeah. So it's not, is this like pure golf? Like, no, but this is wild. That was wild what we watched.
They should lean into the...
Yes. Theatrics, yeah, without a doubt. And like, every year, it's no matter how big the lead is, even when Webb got to 17 last year, it was horribly boring, but we at least wanted to see how he handled 17. Like, nobody has it signed, sealed, delivered till you're on that green. It belongs like in May. I've been to it twice in May. It's been 95 degrees, hot and humid, and miserable for fans and for everyone. I was out there this week and like, why did it ever move?
Yeah.
I know that weather's more unpredictable in this time of year, and there were some Monday finishes and whatnot, but Florida in March is infinitely better than Florida in May, and is better for fans, and I'm glad the weather cooperated this year and the takes didn't start popping up of like, well, this is what they get for moving it to March. Like,
even when it's rainy and windy like this.
Oh, I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
This is the ultimate to me.
You got the full mix.
It's
like
evocative of DL3 winning that one year. And
kind of Craig Perks' year. It was like 50 degrees, I think. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it belongs this month, and it feels like a bigger deal in March, too, which I'm totally fine with.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. I wonder if that's because we haven't had any majors yet,
and
it's kind of, people are a little starved for that, I would assume. It definitely kind of dominated. I don't know if it dominated really the headlines coming in. I think a lot of the headlines were kind of, is it a major or not, which is whatever. We can get into that later. But, yeah, I don't know. I had nothing but awesome things to say about the move to March. That was spectacular. I think we thought it was going to be spectacular. It was as good or better than we thought it was going to be. They are who we thought they
March
were.
March is who we thought it
was. Yeah, exactly.
I do think they need to grow the rough up a little bit more.
I'm with you there. I'm with you. I don't know, you know, I don't know. I don't want agronomy Twitter to change their guns from Randy to me, but, you know, so I don't really know how this works, but watching some of the shots out there, and we walked around a fair bit this week, and we got to watch Brian Gay build an 18-hole round, which is one of the great treats of my golf watching life.
Did you guys watch Brian Gay for 18 holes?
Like 14
holes. Okay. Yeah. He was paired with friend of the podcast, Adam Long. Okay. So we got to watch that, and it was a little bit of a bummer to see, and you kind of saw it on 16 today when Rory hit his drive where he hit his drive. Having played that course a lot of times, no big deal. The hardest part about it is when you do miss those fairways, like I have just horrible memories of sitting in that 4-inch Bermuda rough where the ball just like gets spider webbed by this grainy ass rough and you're hacking out and whatever. This is the whole width and angles versus rough conversation. But when Rory, you know, bangs it down there and he's got a 9-iron into the par 5 from kind of a, you know, what looked like a pretty decent, almost pseudo kind of fluffy lie from this overwatered, overseeded driving mat range looking ryegrass, it doesn't sit great.
I was a little bit surprised with the way the greens looked, especially earlier in the week.
Yeah.
They were kind of sketchy.
I mean, yeah, the reports from a lot of the players were like, it might look okay on TV, but they're not great. Like,
especially the collars on the front nine. Like, the fringe was just really, really, I mean, it was dead looking when we were out there. So, you know, I'm sure there's some growing pains with shifting it back. But
a transition year, I think some of that stuff is kind of forgivable. Mm-hmm.
And it sounded like it got better throughout the week, too.
Yeah. And like they now will have the course ready to peak in March every year. And this was their tightest time frame, like the changeover and whatnot. So I don't know enough about agronomy to opine on that greatly, but I think that's kind of in year one. It definitely didn't affect
Randy,
anything.
Randy, you want to weigh in on that?
No.
It was very green. You know,
it did look pretty.
it looked pretty cool.
I don't know if it's like a bit, as people have said, we've had a bit of Stockholm syndrome, which talking about the theme music, which we're going to get to, but I had a blast out there. I thought it was a wonderful tournament.
Yeah, the viewing
angles are tremendous, and like it does get forced down your throat. We were kind of bitter about the week before it even started, but going out there, I walked around all day Friday, Saturday. I had a blast.
Can we go back to the tapes? We've said this the last 2 years.
I know.
Yeah. It's a great tournament to watch. It's an exceptional product. I think it's only downfall is really the fact that they can't just let it be the players.
Yeah.
And they, you know, every, and even you can tell with NBC, even every chance Tirico got yesterday and today, talking about the significance of the tournament, this, you know, the field, it's like they just have this inferiority complex that supersedes everything else. Just let it be itself.
With that said, let's go to the next voicemail, should we?
Hey guys, Bill from Minneapolis. Could this have gone any better for the All Caps gang over at the PGA Tour? Immense amount of hype leading into this tournament, the fifth major, one might say. You know, what are your thoughts? Are we going to add this to the rota? I mean, come on. It was exciting.
So I kind of, Billy Horschel tweeted something about this earlier in the week, like the tour has never pushed this on the players to like promote it as a major, but walking, I don't know what gate you guys entered at, but if you walk in the Davis Love VIP entrance or whatever it is, and VIP just means like you just walk right in, it's for everybody for the record. They play like sound bites from players and from broadcasts, like not even subliminally, like just like blasting it in your ear. Like, yeah, I mean, this is like a major. I prepare for it like a major. And like carefully curated clips that you hear on your way into here, the tournament of like, oh yeah, this is a really big deal.
Straight propaganda.
Yeah. It's what it felt like a lot. This is kind of a point of discussion on the Eddie podcast that's coming this week, though, is I think kind of where the root of the identity crisis might be in that the players used to be a much bigger deal than a lot of PGA Tour events, but like the floor on PGA Tour events has risen so much, and like every event there's huge money.
Yeah.
Now it's like, well, what is the players then? It's a bigger deal than those tournaments, but it's not as big of a difference as it maybe used to be. So is it a major? I think is that fair to say, like, that's where the root is?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think it's more ceiling than floor.
I'm in the floor, right, of like the Valero Texas Open. Talking about,
like, I mean, the Sanderson Farms and the players are,
but
still,
that's like a second tier event. But like a regular,
but even that stuff has been elevated to the point where it's like, no, it's part of the wraparound season. These are all PGA Tour events. Yeah. These are all important. And then it's almost like you're constantly like trying to stay ahead, you know, keeping everybody happy. Where it's everything's in the wraparound season, but now Memorial and Arnold Palmer, like, now, well, you guys are different. You're on another level. This is Mr. Palmer and Mr. Nicholas. And then, well, Tiger's event, well, now, okay, well, now also you're on another level, but also the WGCs, also you're on another level. And also, of course, the playoff events, of course, you're on another level. But the players, I mean, that's entirely on another level.
late stage capitalism. Are you guys surprised that they haven't upped the purse even more?
It's pretty big.
It's
pretty egregious.
Like, what? No, but make it so outrageous that
you're talking FedEx Cup money.
Like, you get $5 million for winning just this one event. Like, yeah, and basically, I know they have everybody in the field already, but just make it so outrageous that, you know, you're kind of, it's like the new money major. It's the new money masters kind of thing. You know?
Well, that's kind of, you and I were talking about it a lot while we were just walking around, and I think that, yeah, I'd be all in on like just leaning into, it sounds like we're being pejorative or backhanded when you say, you know, lean into the absurdity of it. And I don't mean that in even like in a bad way. I just mean, look at the fucking golf course. Like you said, like you have an island green, like just lean into, it is so different than anything else. Just lean into, make it an absolute spectacle. And I think that everybody that goes to the tournament would love that. I think the purists would hate it, but I think they already clap back at almost everything that the tournament announces anyway. So it's like, I don't know. I think just absolutely make it its own thing. And I think that's our one beef is, you know, just stop trying to make it something else. We're walking around and you see the new, you know, the whole redesigned driveway, and it's, you can tell exactly which golf course in Augusta, Georgia, they got the idea to open up all of that and to change all of that stuff. You're walking around and the chairman sign, all the past chairman, is called the Honorable Company of Past Chairman. I'm like, God, I wonder where you got that idea. And the trophy changes, and like, it's like, dude, just stick with one thing and just keep making it its own thing.
The old trophy was sick.
You walk in the merch tent and there's 15 different logos. I'm like, dude, just keep it the same. Just it takes a long time. You can't just keep throwing money and make it feel traditional. Like, it takes a long time for those things to set in. So just stop changing them.
The new players music. I don't know if there's a voicemail on it.
There is.
Okay. So I'll leave that. Yeah. But on the flip side, the new trophy, just seeing it in person, it's god awful.
but it kind of looked like Jim Furyk was what I was kind of going for. And I was like, oh my God, this might be, the answer might have been right there for us the whole time.
How big is it?
It's too big.
The huge. Stand well, is,
give me, it's like scale Stanley. It to something. Give me,
I mean, it was on a stand. I don't know if the stand is all part of it. I didn't watch the trophy presentation or anything, but it was like 3 feet tall.
Like a 2 liter bottle of Coke or something?
It's like a mini tall? Stanley Cup.
Or? It's like a, it looks like a mini Stanley Cup with what you saw on the top.
With a 2 liter. Kid's sports trophy. On.
Yeah. Like if you took, if one of those trophies from, you know, I remember like Hirschbein trophies in Sycamore, Illinois, where everybody gets like the little league trophies. Shout out to those guys.
Shout out.
If one of those trophies got gigantism, like that's what it looks like.
And then are they going to
kind of like the plastic where you have like the seam up the side, you know, and it's like a molded plastic trophy. That's, I don't know.
Are they going to keep
the crystal one? I thought was awesome.
Are they going to keep morphing it every year?
That's what I don't incorporate. To incorporate new faces.
That would be sick. That's probably the best thing they could do.
Which otherwise, yeah, then it's like, okay, well, why'd you pick this arbitrary point where it's like the first, what is it, how's it, what's it been like, 37 or 38?
Yeah.
Then, which was Neil's football number.
Maybe that's why they did it. Then 20 years from now, it's like, yeah, this is based on the first 38 and only 38 champions, Rory McIlroy. You won't notice his face in here at all.
That might be the burning question coming out of this week.
Or on the first 38, if guys won the tournament more than once, did they get
double
twice as much influence?
Shout out to Steve Elkington.
It's like dominant genes.
Yeah. Listen, all these are great, fantastic questions.
I mean, I think after, we knew this going into it, but like definitively, this is not a major. Like,
we recorded
more podcasts this week with players than we have in any week ever, which would never happen in a major. Like, there's photo shoots going on with sponsors and stuff. Like, the players are attending on Monday, Tuesday. Like, this is not, it's just not. Like, it's fine.
Guys got MDF.
Yeah, it's not a major. Like, it's fine. Let's we can move on from that.
I think the only thing that would make, like, people asking this question is the only reason that this keeps coming up.
So that's why I didn't even want to address it.
Like, is this a major? Like, no. There's four
Who
majors.
Who gives a shit?
Am I being crazy? Like, no, there's four majors. If things started over right now and everything said, okay, we have this tournament, you know, this whole entire schedule, we want to pick four tournaments to be our majors. I'd be like, yeah, you should pick the players. It's really good. But that's not how it works.
I think majors like time is just a social construct.
Exactly.
And so you can choose to, anything can be a major in your heart. Like, well, who cares?
As it stands now, like three of the four majors are already in the U.S. If we added another one, would it be in the U.S.? Like, does that make the
that's
most
a good
sense?
Point.
Like,
you're riding for the CJ Cup?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the one in Asia or Australia would make more sense than adding another one in the U.S.
I just don't. It's such an answer to a question that nobody's asking.
Right.
Like, why?
And then,
like,
and then,
no,
and
why
then
would there be another major?
Everybody always asks about, like, why, who is talking about this? Why is this a thing? And needless to say, everybody's talking about it.
Yeah, just stop. It's not a thing.
I think it's almost a derivative. I think everybody's talking about everybody's talking
exactly.
About it.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody's actually talking about it anymore.
The commentary to comment on. Yeah.
Well, what was the comment that we had heard that come out of Pontevedra, which was the fifth major is still being played in May?
Oh. Brutal.
Yeah. I was like, oh, cool dig, guys. But
I mean, the PGA does stink, but that's another issue.
That's a different take. You want to roll into the next caller?
Next caller.
Gentlemen, Stephen Schuster II calling from the C-suite. Just wondering, you know, we've talked about getting some more partnerships in the works. Just wondering where we're at on that. Want to see you guys start wetting your beaks a little bit more, generating a little bit more cash flow to the organization. So, give me an update. Thanks.
Very cool to have someone from the C-suite calling in like that.
The call is coming from inside the house.
Well, speaking of majors, you know, I think we can shed some light on Steven's question on you know, potential new partners. We're going to be doing some stuff with Pinehurst Resort this year. Sol, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I think I've been on the record saying that Pinehurst 2 is my favorite golf course that I've played in the United States.
They've had majors there, right?
They have had majors there, and they have made a lot of changes. They've kind of, I think a lot of people get drawn to the very new places, and they're exciting and they're fun to play and kind of can tend to forget about some of the classic places. And Pinehurst has done so much over the last decade, even, you know, with the renovation of number 2 and now adding number 4 and adding the Thistledew putting course and adding the Cradle, the par 3 course, that I think there's a lot of fun fun things we can do there, and we are going to do there with them. So we're bringing Pinehurst on board as an official partner.
Yeah,
so
we are very excited. We're going to be doing an event there later this year. Much more to come on that. But I think in where we're kind of starting now is, like, we get questions all the time from people about where they should plan their golf trip for this year. You know, it's kind of, I've got X amount of dollars to go do one big trip. Where should I go? It's early in the year. The, you know, possibilities are endless. And Pinehurst is one that we talk about anyways. So I think that's one that we wanted to, it's very easy to bring on as a partner. So Pinehurst.com, they have all kinds of offers, packages. Check it out. Sally mentioned a million different things that they've already done. But yeah, the number four course just was redone by Gil Hance. The number two course basically kind of shifted how golf course architecture works in the United States over the last, you know, 10 years, 15 years. I'm excited to get back.
The brewery, we need
the brewery. There's a bunch of shit.
Really cool to see you guys working with them. I'll report back to Steven. You know,
that guy just sounded like a bright guy.
Yeah,
we got a lot of good ideas there. So, we'll consider our beaks wet and let's get to the next caller.
Hey, this is Sean from Nebraska.
Self-loathing Sean.
Is Jim Furyk cool?
I'll say definitively. I think Jim Furyk is cool. I legitimately think so.
I mean, we see him at Sundeli all the time.
Yeah, which makes him cool.
He's inherently cool. Yeah, he's dining at Sundeli.
I think he gets the Babs special. I talked to him about it one time.
I know we got a lot of new listeners since this went up, and it's not on our iTunes feed anymore because our host sucks. More on that to come. But go listen to our podcast episode with him from November of 2017. Like, I honestly,
it's on the website, right?
Yeah, people, it's on the website, nolangup.com, the podcast tab. Go on there. Go listen to that. Like, it was an awesome interview. He had told funny stories. He was like a great hang. He had no idea who we were and just kind of sat down and told stories for an hour. And if you didn't see that sauce moment coming up the 18th today, then yeah, I can say definitively.
I was disappointed with the fact that Saturday he didn't, like, he should have gone for that shot. If he falls in the water, he falls in the water.
If he dies, he dies.
But if he pulls off the shot, like, A, he saved himself a stroke, which
turned out to be
very, very, you know, valuable. And B, he's, what, 10 minutes from a shower?
I love Jim Furyk. I think it's taken me, and maybe this is what the caller is alluding to, it's taken me a long time to admit that. He's very much a dad. He's a golf dad. But he hits big shots and big moments. I think we all got a bad taste left in our mouth by, you know, whatever it was, 4 or 5 years ago when he was kind of in some big moments and tended to get a little yippy down the stretch.
2012 Ryder Cup really hurt us too.
But his 58 was, he shot 58 and 59. That's very cool.
That 59 was sick.
It was too amazing.
That's quite a club.
Yeah. I happened to be there on that day at Conway Farms when he shot 59 and just watched like pretty much every shot on the back nine. And dude, he's just a bulldog. I don't know. And you sit in the press room, I know this sounds cliche too, but all these guys give such boring answers and everybody complains about this all the time. And Furyk never, ever, ever does that. Every time, whatever the question is, he legitimately, to the point where he'll stop and like, and he did this to me when I first was out there, he would like look at my credential, ask who you are, like, what are you reporting this for? Because he's like, okay, I know that I'm going to say some stuff. I'm not going to, you know, be cagey and I'm not going to try to hold stuff back. So like, hopefully this is a person that is trustworthy. That's not going to make me look like an ass. And he just, yeah, he says what's on his mind. And it's awesome to see him up there. It was cool, like, much like the VJ thing a couple weeks ago at the Honda. It would have been cool to see both of them get it done, but c'est la vie.
He's a pro's pro.
He's the ultimate pro's pro.
Comfortable in his own skin, and, like, nobody grows up, like, wanting to be like Jim Furyk.
Like, he's like Billy Joel.
Yeah.
He's like Philip Rivers.
Yeah. Yeah. That's ugly. Sure. Yeah.
Can you be cool, though, if nobody grows up wanting to be you?
Well, that's the Billy Joel conundrum. It's like, nobody, you know, he's like, by all intents and purposes, he's a rock star. But, like, nobody thinks he's cool or, like, grew up, you know, idolizing him.
Do you remember the shirts from a few years back, the button down,
the Exelon with the Exelon on the front?
He did say that on the podcast. The shirts he regretted the most were the button up short sleeve shirts he used to wear. So,
but like talking about somebody that just owns their swing,
I mean, the shot he hit on 17. I know he didn't make the putt on 17. Like, that was extra ballsy as well. Yeah. Fluff had it. First of all, the broadcast, like, big moment here for Fluff. Like, as he was getting the yardage in the wind, right? I'm like, okay, it's also pretty big for the guy that's got to hit the shot.
But Fluff's got a 5-year plan.
I just want to say, it was not only was that a risky shot, it inspired me to make a very risky Google search as I went for an old balls GIF of some kind.
That's what it is, Big Daddy.
Yeah,
Sid's got a 5-year plan. What is it?
So I went for that and only saw a few things that I was not supposed to see. So
how about Fluff being born in 1948? And
it's incredible.
Probably the only caddy out there that was born in the 40s.
I legitimately don't know how he does what he does. You know, not only for an entire week, but for an entire golf season, especially in the summer heat. That's amazing.
6-figure check, probably, or close to that for him, as Furyk made over $1 million for finishing.
Guy made $1 million.
It's pretty nuts.
All right, next question.
What's up, fellas? This is Nate up in Michigan.
Nate the Great.
Starting to see some spring, but I want to call up Randy, and I demand a public apology for the McRicky comparison that he made the other day. Absolute garbage. And yeah, we need to hear an apology from you on the pod.
Thanks Nate.
Guys. Keep doing what you're doing.
Really appreciate you looking out for the democracy in the world, Nate.
Thanks for calling in, Nate.
Randy, you got anything to say?
I think we kind of touched on it in the beginning of the pod.
I don't think we kind of want to touch on it. We want to touch on it.
It's a public apology that he's demanding.
You can refute that if you like, but you'd be a scumbag.
Is Rory not definitively not like Ricky? Is that what I'm being asked to refute?
Well, I think you're being a little coy that, you know, do they have some similarities? Certainly, yes. Are they the same player? Absolutely not.
Does Rory have 4 majors? Yes.
For sure. No, they're different eras. You guys bastardize everything like you always eras? Do. Yeah, that was the tweet. We have moved on from the McRib era.
Oh, now we're in the McRicky era.
It was the GOAT. It was the GOAT era, and then the McRib era, and then now we're in the McRicky era.
Well, so did a new era start today?
Potential. That's what we're monitoring. We have to monitor the situation. I mean, Ricky is one of players, so.
So you could make an argument that the McRicky era is, like, this proved even more that we're in the McRicky era.
It might be all in on the McRicky era.
Next topic. This is so stupid.
Hey, boys. Andrew in Philly. I was really in the mood to agree with anti-whistling guy all week. Wanted to hate the player's theme music as it was just absolutely forced on us. But God damn it, if I wasn't whistling the damn theme music on Saturday afternoon. Just couldn't help myself. All right. Gonna leave you guys with that. Crack on.
I'm just going to roll right into the next one because there were a lot of people that actually called in about the music. And he went on like that for some time.
It's fire.
It's heat.
It's good.
It's a banger.
I agree. I think we made fun of it. Now I look back, it was a brilliant rollout. It made us recognize the theme song. And every time it came on, I just started dancing.
It was good. It was good.
They kind of leaned into the self-seriousness a little bit.
They did, so the only issue with it in the full version that you saw in the video that they tweeted out was then after this part that everybody loves, then they go into this like weird trap beat, which was never on the telecast. And that part was the only part I was like, did they get like a focus group to design the music?
It's the Live Under Par remix.
But that... but that never showed up on the telecast, and what was on the telecast was fantastic. I like it. It's gonna be. I hate to say it, it's gonna be a classic. I think people are gonna recognize it.
It might be my ringtone. I'm serious. I just started shimmying my shoulders every time I heard it. And on top of that, the graphics package is fire as well.
It's really good.
It's really good. Yeah. Whatever their blue color that they use, and I know we make fun of graphics all the time. Like that's how you do it. Like that is.
I'm retired. I'm retired from broadcast takes, of course, but I posed a question to the group. Do you guys like more commercials or less commercials?
It depends on the situation.
I'm going to have to get back to you on that one.
Don't you get tired of the same commercials, though?
Well, that's a good question. Would you rather have less commercials but the same commercials? Which is, yes. I'm kind of used to that because I watch it, a lot of it on Apple TV, and they go to their own set of commercials, and there's only 3 of them every week anyways. But I'd rather, this is like the secret of TV, isn't it? Like you just tune out of the commercials anyway. So,
well, it was interesting, even on the, like I was listening on the radio a lot this, you know, earlier this afternoon and then late yesterday afternoon. It's obvious that Randy hates books because, you know, Justin Rose is partnered with
Morgan Stanley. Yeah. Eagle up, Randy.
Yeah. You know, the book trust.
I mean, it was noticeable, right? And especially like imagine if it wasn't limited commercial interruption this today with the amount of action they got.
It would have been impossible.
Like, they were doing all they could to press the buttons to get to the action. They had to show a lot of shots on tape delay. Obviously, there was just so much going on.
Again, there's no issue with showing shots on tape delay if it means that you're going to show the shot and you're not, and you're going to let stuff like the Sergio thing yesterday. Was it Sergio yesterday? No, Poulter yesterday.
On four.
Yeah. When he hit it in the water, and then they showed the whole thing play out, and that was cool to watch, you know. And I feel like they in the past or other networks would have cut away from that, and then from there, you know, they would have lost the flow. And then if you have to show something tape delayed to get back on rhythm, you do that.
And they crushed the Rahm thing. I know we kind of touched on it at the top, but like they're having a conversation in the bunker left of 11, and like the wind, he's got to hook it around a tree from the left bunker, and the wind is blowing hard left to right. And like Adam Hayes, his caddy, steps in like, I don't like this at all. If we lay this up to like right here, you have a flat lie. And Rahm says, I'd be uncomfortable with that or something. It's like, that's a bad angle. It's like, dude, you're trying to hook it out of the bunker around a tree over water with left to right wind. And as soon as he hits the ball, he just F-bombs and was like, I felt fucking perfect before you said that or something like that. It was perfect.
Rahm's a sociopath.
I do want to hear the full Rahm breakdown of that moment if he's asked about it afterwards, because this goes back to the TV people being the keepers of the take. And as far as what we saw on TV, that's how it played out. So I wonder if there was more conversation before that or more something else going on. But as we saw it, that was sick.
That was brilliant.
Listening on the radio, there was a lot of Rahm chatter picked up by their mics too, and
the radio is always better for that.
A lot of oh my gosh, I'm sorry for the language you may have heard.
Well, these mics, that's Randy's, these mics thing. Are very hot.
They never apologize. I'm gonna be writing an FCC complaint.
That's a good call. Yeah, there's no apology. They stand by it.
How many times is this like the Sunday column gonna emerge with Rahm in contention of like, yep, here he goes. He's really mature. He's had temper issues in the past, but he's over them. And he's going to continue to do this. Like, it's part of who he is.
Well, I'm not just saying this because they're both Spanish, but this is kind of been the Sergio playbook for 20 years. So
who's he working
Sergio's
with?
Way different now. He's calmed way down. He's a family man. Well, I know he destroyed 5 greens, but now he's a class act. He's with the troops. Here he is doing some fan proposal thing.
Who is Rahm working with?
I don't know.
To get better?
Yeah, on his mental
game.
That's
a great question.
Phil Tolles.
Is that real?
Yeah.
You can look him up. Metallica talking.
Oh, I was like, oh God. We got to announce. We'll have posted this on Twitter, but quick shout for the trap draw. If you haven't watched the Metallica Some Kind of Monster documentary, I know this is a very, very unique segue, but we did a whole trap draw episode about that. So if you want to watch that and then listen to the podcast, you're more welcome to. If you don't want to do that, you're welcome to do that as well. So shout out to Phil Tolles. Let's go to the next question.
Hi, this is Ben from Boise. I'm in a debate with my buddies that I need to appeal here to the Supreme Court of Tour Sauce. Kevin Na's walk-in putt on 17 yesterday, was that a confident move of sauciness or a nervy reflex to a touchy downhill putt? Thanks. I'm going to hang up and listen.
What do we think?
I'm abstaining from any Kevin Na, from giving Kevin Na any more attention than he's crying out for.
That's very big of you. Randy?
I think it was cool.
I know. Well, that's not the question.
Well, I don't think it was a nervy reaction because you wouldn't, if you thought you missed it, you wouldn't bend down to pick it up.
Yeah,
so
that's kind of where I'm at. I thought it was nervy at first, just the way he reacted. But then I was like, well, yeah, even if he missed it, yeah, he wasn't going to scoop it, which would have been sick if he did scoop
which
it.
Which would
have
been
DQ'd or whatever.
For sure.
Yeah.
I love the idea here of bringing into question walking in putts, because a lot of pros will play it off like they mean to walk it in, and they definitely didn't.
Yeah.
But they will just play it off. This is not one of them. Like the casual walk after you thinking you miss it is like you come up out of your stance. You don't like bend towards the hole to pick it up. This one is case shut. He was definitely, that was a saucy ass move.
How about the cat? I mean, how about the cat yucking it up with his boy Kevin Na?
I bet he'd been premeditating that the entire week.
Kevin Na? I guess.
We saw him. We watched the, as you guys know, me and Tron are huge process guys. So what a throw it was Saturday morning to be able to go out to the course and watch guys just watch their entire warm-up process. So we watched the cat, watched him hit balls, watched him chip, watched him putt.
And he's yucking it up there with Kevin Na. The whole thing started very early. There was a very comfy pairing.
Well, I was really, really impressed with Eddie Pepperell's putting routine.
Yeah.
The amount of tees.
Let's talk
that
about
he was
Eddie Pepperell,
and...
should we?
Well, back to the Na Tiger moment. Seeing that kind of go into this viral world of Twitter was hilarious. We got a lot of absolutely hilarious replies. My favorite being, because Paul Azinger jumped in and said something not intelligent about, like, oh, they even have the same teeth, as they were laughing. And somebody said,
I missed that.
Let's not violate Azinger's honeymoon period.
Dude said they got the same teeth, exclamation point. I'm dead ass fam. Hashtag free Bobby Smyrna. That was my favorite tweet.
That, yeah. Listen, the golf's a global game.
Anytime Cat does anything even remotely human, he gets lauded for it.
It was a little crowned a little bit. I mean, it was funny. Like,
yeah, it was fine.
Every time I watch it, I laugh and smile. I'm like, hey, this is big. It went into this whole, like, this is what golf needs. And like, no, dude, it was like a funny moment between two people. It wasn't even that funny. Tiger clearly thought it was way funnier than it was, which helped kind of play into everyone laughing along.
It was live under par personified.
It was. It's going to be in commercials for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, this is Matt calling from Who Gives a Shit Where I Live, USA.
Unnecessary.
We need more villains in golf. Besides Patrick Reed, I find myself not really rooting against anybody. If you guys could pick one person to turn heel and go bad so that we could root against them, who would it be? Thanks a lot. Love the content. Adios.
Randy, you got it. This is your block. You got to take this one first.
Yeah, I think, Matt, here's my advice. Just pick who you want. Don't, you know, it doesn't matter.
Let the facts get in the way.
Yeah, they don't actually have to do anything. Just create a reason in your own mind and then start writing for it.
I think that's smart.
Kind of like Randy's done with Ricky.
Exactly.
Well, no, Ricky is a disgrace, but besides that.
Well, I feel like the easy answers are like Bubba and Poulter, like the people that, you know, fans have already taken upon them to root against.
Who actually doesn't like Poulter anymore, though?
But like, the casual American fan does not like Poulter at all, like, without a doubt. Like, he got hurt, he gets harassed everywhere he goes in the States.
He posted an Instagram today about getting blown up out on the course and how his kids had to listen to him get screamed at all day, which is,
hate to see it,
which is tough.
Yeah, it's not, we don't want to encourage that kind of behavior.
No, I mean, I'm gonna throw, I'll throw Jason Day out there as a candidate. There's plenty of guys not to like.
I want to hear you guys name your number one heel. Yeah, each of you.
Well, I think Rom is quickly, he's almost like the, I know you guys don't like Star Wars, but he's almost the, he's like Anakin Skywalker predisposed to be bad. I think
no
he's
clue what you're talking about.
That's why I prefaced it with that. He's got all the pieces in place. Everyone I think loved him. He comes out, he wins at Torrey Pines, makes that big eagle putt. He's, he looks like he could kind of, save the galaxy almost, and then now you start to see things like today where he's blown up his caddy. That's all it takes. Is like we saw it with Bubba, like one hole the mics pick up the wrong thing, they pick up you blowing up your caddy, which who knows if he was even blowing him up or if that's just how they talk or whatever, and it just becomes legend and lore, and they're like, God, Bubba's such an asshole, man, I heard him that one time on that one hole at Travelers, that guy's an asshole, and it just becomes so black and white. Good versus evil. Rom is the prime candidate to slip up and do something that's like unforgivable, I think, and people are going to start riding against him.
Hold on, Mr. Politician. I need you to answer the question.
Well, I think
is it John Rom for you?
It's John Rom. Yeah, for sure. Like, I thought you guys are not innocent here either. Everybody's riding for Rom to hit it in the water on 17 just to see what he's going to do, because it's fun to watch. It's fun to do bad shit, you know?
Well, no, and
it's fun to do hood rat things.
And my whole point is it's entertaining.
For sure. Right.
Volatile people is great.
Thanks for holding my feet to the fire there.
I'm gonna offer up another few guys here. Keegan.
That's going to be mine.
That's going to be mine.
Justin Rose, even though he's like the...
He's a class act.
He's maybe too much of a class act.
That's disgusting. Are you against the Eagle Up initiative? Putting books in the hands of young children?
I would say J.J. Henry.
Well, I want to separate this out, because like this is coming from a place of like not... We hear some things about guys. We know some of these guys, and we just kind of get the wrong... This is like completely different from that. This is kind of like, I don't really have a great reason to, but I just don't really like
exactly.
you. And Keegan was the first name that came to mind for me, I think. But Yeah, I mean, we've definitely heard some things about players that I could name that are stories that you don't want to put on the record of like, yeah, that's why I absolutely despise that guy. But separating that out is kind of like, you know what? I just don't root for that guy. Like, I find myself like before we started doing this, when I was just a golf fan, like I just didn't want to root for Webb Simpson. Couldn't be a nicer guy. No real reason to like him.
Has that changed?
But just his swing is really ugly. I mean, I've heard some actually like really good stories about Webb that actually make me root for him, but I don't like root hard for him. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's a weird
Walker Texas backstopper.
Can you root for a guy and also want them to play bad golf? It's kind of a philosophical question.
No, I don't think so. I don't know.
How would that work?
I don't know. Well, I think Webb would be like that category where it's like, I don't like seeing you play well, but I know you're like a great guy. I don't know. We'll think about it.
Oh, well, on that same topic, I like seeing Mickelson do well, but I also like seeing when Mickelson's in the hunt, I also like seeing him absolutely light himself on fire.
Yeah, you also like seeing him do bad stuff.
Yeah.
But why is this golf fans seem to do this with like, it seemed to really care if somebody's a good guy. Like, do we do this in other sports?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, you either hear a story about a guy, like, oh, I heard that guy, he was a dick. My cousin's, was 6 years old, and she asked him for a ball, and he didn't give it to her. Like, that guy's a dick.
Yeah.
Randy's a big Antonio Brown guy.
Is that right?
Loves Antonio Brown. Tyreek Hill.
The thing is putting everything on me. You're abusing the concept, Tron. You need to dial it back a little bit.
I think the floor for guys is way higher in golf because you just never see like a truly, truly bad person. You're never going to, for the most part, hopefully, you're never going to see in golf like the shit you see in the NFL with, oh, this guy's out for, he beat up his girlfriend. So he's, I guess he's got to miss 4 games.
Allegedly.
Well, some of them have been confirmed. You know what I mean? Like the golf stuff is just, I think when you do get the like, oh yeah, he didn't sign an autograph, it's just so much easier to be a dick in golf because it's the scales slid so much.
Well, and you're so much closer to the action.
It's true.
The players walk between a bunch of players or fans, and you could reach out and touch them, and like there is the interaction is very personal. Like when Tom Brady runs into the tunnel and you yell things at him and he doesn't acknowledge you, like nobody thinks anything of it. But like in golf, the players are expected to acknowledge all the fans, and
bad things happen in the NBA when players.
Yes.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. Shout out to Ron Artest.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's kind of a weird dynamic, but I feel like people will just take the smallest, in 2011, blah, blah, blah. And I hate this guy because it was like, all right.
Well, that's what Randy does.
But yeah.
But even some of that stuff's made up.
Right. I mean, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Like, who cares?
All right. One more question.
What's up, fellas? It's Joe from Ogden, Utah. Just a quick question, really. Is Jordan Spieth the forgotten man? Eesh. Well, take it easy, boys.
Tron?
I'm going to say vehemently no. I think he's in the lab. I think he's kind of re-entering the world of golf after his honeymoon marriage phase here. And I think, is he dealing with some shit? Yeah, absolutely. But I have full confidence in Jordan to emerge on the other side of this.
Well, I think it would be, it kind of depends on your definition of the forgotten man. Like, is he the forgotten man for sure? I think so.
You were losing your mind earlier because looking up his world ranking.
Yeah, he dropped to number 30 in the world. He is the forgotten man, but he's not the forgotten man, like, in the way that we've seen people become the forgotten man in the past. I still think he's at the top of my list for Augusta. He's still, you know what I mean?
But, well, that was going to be my question, Solly.
But he is the forgotten man.
Do you still feel comfortable with...
No, but I'm locked into the pick. So, I'm not changing... As soon as I change the pick, he'll win the fucking Masters.
Yeah.
We know that's going to happen, but...
DJ, to your point, it's kind of like the different stages of grieving.
For sure.
Where I think, we're still a little upset. We're concerned about Jordan, but we haven't accepted that he is the forgotten man. Like when apathy sets in, that's when he's truly the forgotten man.
That's well said.
I think to be the forgotten man, we have to like stop noticing when you play poorly, and like people are still seeing the scores and like seeing the struggles. Yeah. And like, all right, he's not forgotten yet. Like when Adam Scott, like,
so you say he's gone, but not forgotten.
Correct.
Yeah.
When Adam Scott dropped out of the top 50, I think we kind of, nobody like really, really noticed it on a day-to-day basis, but maybe that's just kind of the U.S. market paying more attention to Spieth and whatnot. But
well, Jim Furyk might have become the forgotten man then before today.
Yeah,
I think that's fair.
He was number what, like 200 in the world or something?
He was like 167. Now he's 57. So
it's a big jump.
It's not over. It's definitely not over for Spieth. Like, I think he had a much better round two. He dug himself a hole in round one.
He made 7 birdies in the second round.
Yeah, he said it clicked. He said he's back. Well, which a lot of that is just like convincing yourself, which is sweet. Yeah, I don't know. We're gonna see him again. Where match play?
Yeah, we'll see.
Are we gonna see him in Valspar? Or is he skipping?
He's not playing Valspar, I don't think.
God, Valspar might be the forgotten
past champ. Valspar might be the
next
forgotten
week.
Man.
Yeah,
that's a good call. Tough draw for them.
We haven't talked about Fleetwood. Can we talk about Fleetwood?
Go ahead.
I feel like I'm a Fleetwood homer, but he didn't have his A game. He didn't have his B game this weekend. All those left misses that he kept hitting with his irons. You know, he had a C-minus game, and he gutted out a 2-under 70 yesterday. And stayed in it for most of the day today too. I think I think those are the rounds that you really figure out kind of, or that you kind of figure out how to build on. And yeah, of course, when everything's going swimmingly, you're gonna take that forward. But I think it's those days where you don't have your game that you're really, making the difference for a Masters or a U.S. Open or a British Open. You know,
Chad Feltz had a great tweet. Did Fleetwood sacrifice his life so Rory could live?
Listen, but we're gonna have to look into that and get back to you.
I think Fleetwood is. I mean, obviously he's playing some tremendous golf, but it's kind of if he's had back to back poor weekends being at the top of the contention. Like if this would have happened back to back again with Rory, how much people would have like freaked out about it?
Yeah.
I have different expectations for different players, but it's just like no one really thinks that about Fleetwood right now. It's kind of like it didn't work out, but just kind of the different standards that people are held to is kind of highlighted there. And
yeah.
Well, on that note,
I agree with that. I was going to make the same point. It's, if he was somebody by a different name, we might be detonating him.
I'm starting to feel about Fleetwood the way I felt about Spieth 2 years ago, 3 years ago, which is every time he tees it up and you look at the golf course, you're like, oh my God, like this fits Fleetwood perfectly. And every time, and then he rushes out and he plays well in those first couple rounds. So yeah, he's occupying a pretty big part of my heart right now. So I'm hoping that it does click the way you're talking about, TC.
I almost feel like it gets to the point maybe with where like a Jason Day point, or sorry, all sorts of Freudian shit going on. Dustin Johnson point where like DJ was T5 this week. Nobody's accusing him of choking or, he was consistent throughout the week.
Right.
His floor is probably, on a good week, it's probably a top 5 or a top 10. And on a, on a bad week, it's a miscut. I think Fleetwood's floor may even be a little bit above that, but his ceiling's probably a little bit below.
Shout out to Fleetwood for the bet he made of going for the pin on 17, though, by the way. Truly trying to win it. Go ahead, Randy.
It is interesting, though, just looking at his results this season on the PGA Tour. He's played 6 events, including the players. His first and second rounds, right? So six events, first and second round. We're talking 12 events. He's broken 79 times. Third and fourth round, he's broken 70 once.
I think some of it's got him feeling out playing in the U.S. more, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think also want to give some love to Abraham Answer. He had a really, really excellent week and played better than the T12 that he got. But
and Ollie as well.
Yeah.
I was going to give a special shout out to Ollie. I think he completed the full Ikarito cycle. One, starting with a goatee, going to a mustache, getting up to the top of the leaderboard, flew too close to the sun, dumped in the water on 17, and flew back to T16.
Yeah, that was a costly hole. Him,
Joel Damon as well,
T12,
and then very, very quiet T20 for Bryson, 70, 69, 69, 71. Randy, you have any comments there?
Well, no.
What are you looking for Bryson?
Well, I think he really got, Bryson's my guy. I'm looking for him to win a major this year. I think he also probably got freed up once they got that suspect in custody in the Gambino family boss murder. Couple weeks ago, so
as soon as you started saying that, I knew that's what you were gonna say. Yeah, he had his mafia outfit on all week, looking like
the jumpsuit,
looking like he was ready to take down some pastrami sandwiches at the deli.
Shout out to Brendan Porat.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I forget who came up with that one originally.
Origination of that joke, but every time it starts raining and he's gotta put on the rain gear, he just with that hat. That's my favorite.
The last thing I've got is I'm kind of worried about Brian Harmon.
With his hair?
Yeah. Like, he had some of the best flow, you know, ever. And then a couple weeks ago, I saw that picture, and it just really threw me for a loop, and it kind of shook me to my core.
Welcome
my
to the core. Brotherhood.
Yeah, I mean, I know all you guys are baldists. You're prejudiced against bald people.
Hey, we let you hang out with us.
Yeah, we're prejudiced. Have you ever talked publicly about your baldness? When did it really start to go for you?
It, you know what? It happens very, very, very quickly. Well, that's so what I identify with Harmon, but you know, it seems like he accepted the hell out of it instead of going the kind of the Spieth cat hair plug route. I mean, that picture is
oh my
god.
Yeah.
Not great.
I had no idea.
All right.
Let's wrap. I just want to give one more quick shout out to a guy. This guy, I'm not really encouraging this. It is St. Patrick's Day. I think everybody's having a good time. This guy called in, I haven't checked, but I think it was 6 times when we started recording, and all of the messages are basically to this effect.
This is Patrick from Cleveland, Ohio, and Rory won on St. Patrick's Day. Listen. And it's awesome. Everything's awesome. You're all the best. Patrick from Cleveland. I love you.
All right. That is it. We're going to roll in our interview with Kiradek Abibonrat. A lot of people asking if we interviewed him in between his round 1, 84, and his round 2, 69. We did not. We actually interviewed him on Tuesday. So we can't take too much credit for the Eddie Pepperell podcast bump.
Maybe that's why he shot 84.
That might have been it, actually. We gave him some pretty negative. Neil is sitting a little too close to him, I think. So,
what a thrill to hear Neil on the pod. Huh?
Yeah, we got a great chance to chat with him. He was awesome. Some of the stories and that he tells here, listening back to it, it sounded different in person, even kind of the way he expressed himself and laughed, and hearing the story kind of the sponsor. I hope that really shines through that basically changed his life as a kid and how he doesn't even have a contract with them.
He is a guy that you know, meet some people and you end up rooting for them less. He's the exact opposite. He's someone that you just walks into the room, you're like, God, that guy absolutely loves life. Yes. And just loves, you know, where he is in the world. So it's cool to see that.
Cool. All right, we'll put a wrap on the Players Championship here, and next voice you'll hear will be Kiradek Abibonrat. Cheers.
Cheers.
All right, now welcome again, Kiradek Abibonrat.
Second cut. Yeah, good. Let's roll it.
Let's try this again. Neil, why don't you start us off here?
Well, Kiradek, this is an absolute pleasure. I've been a big fan for a long time. Back when No Laying Up was getting started, one of the first pieces I wrote for the website, the blog, as they say, was about you, because I think you were just dominating the Asian tour at the time, and I was living in California, so I was watching like late night golf, and it was basically like, you know, the Malaysian tournaments, and I was like, who is this guy? And you were putting this crazy move on the ball, and then I got a media pass the first time. I think we got one for No Laying Up at the AT&T Pro-Am. And I believe that was one of your first tournaments. And I saw you on the putting green, and I was too scared to say hi.
Oh.
So, hello.
Well, here we are.
So, here
hi.
We are.
Official hi, right?
Official hi. Official. Yeah. Okay. It's just, let's work out. Great.
You've been only 4 years.
Yeah.
It's all right.
And
I can wait.
I also saw you tee off on 10 at the Masters practice round.
Okay.
And I don't know if you remember. It was like, I think, Spieth. And
well, if I say I'm remember you, you believing me?
What'd you say?
If I say I'm remember you, you believing me?
No.
Well, okay, that's the true thing. I mean, it's like 10,000 people around, but.
I was looking at your Wikipedia page, and I saw that one of your friends had to have written this. That on your actual Wikipedia page, it says you're referred to as the Asian John Daly. Where does that come from, and do you like that comparison?
Oh, I love it. You know, John is one of the greatest player in the world. He got like 3 major under his belt. He hit like miles. He is far. He swing it hard. I mean, someone call you like Asian John Daly, I'm really proud of it. You know, we got really similar backswing. We got really long backswing, and we can't get any longer. Otherwise, we're going to hit the balls and then on the back. Then, you know, It was Greg Stolle, Greg nicknames back home, and I'm really happy with it.
So one of the first questions that come to mind for me is I have no idea what golf is like in Thailand. So what was it like for you growing up playing the game, and how did you get into the game?
Golf is really simple back in Thailand. Before, it's just really, really slow start, but now it's really popular. I don't know that all the parents look at the result, what we make, look at the story, what we make, the career, what we win, or just look at the check. I couldn't tell. But it's getting there. I started golf when I was 8 years old, which is not popular at all. It's just like old sport, you know. If you want to meet the guy like 60 years old playing sport, you would go to the golf course.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time you get in the golf course, I bet that someone gonna die in the golf course.
Yeah.
You know, just walk, you know, one step. They got a hard time to just get one step.
Yeah.
And that's like, oh shit, my dad beat me here for what? I just want to be in the soccer field, you know, run around, kick around. I was doing my homework same as a normal kid, but I'm just getting lazy. If my dad saying if you playing golf, he gets someone to help me or doing homework for me. So I'm just running, grab the golf club straight away. So that expanded how I love schools.
Yeah.
So and then the first three shot was inspire me. I have to say it that way. I'm playing soccer, I'm playing table tennis, I play basketball, badminton, almost every sport back in school. But I can kick the ball, I can hit the ball, even the ball moving the air left and right, but the golf ball was like a feet in front of you and sitting there still, like stay still. I missed the first three shot. So like, wow, this sport is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm trying to beat this one. And every day is different. You're hitting 5 yards, 10 yards. You can improving every day. You think you're good at the wedge now. You can hit the ball and went up, got the launch. But one day you're coming with a different irons, longer. Well, I keep missing again because longer. And it's, you know, want to improve every step. So that's why I'm getting to golf and try to beat it.
Yeah. And where did you grow up playing? Was it a country club, a private club, a public club?
Just public club.
Public?
Public
club. Is that the vibe mainly for golf in Thailand? Mostly public or?
Mostly, yeah. Mostly. And well, I would say depends on how your families. I mean, if you can afford the good golf course, which is your good families. I mean, you can just go playing private golf club. Very nice. And best facility, you know, range practicing. But I start from range, hitting ball on the range, and then pay like 6 hole par threes, you know, short one, 40 yards, 50 yards.
Yeah.
So that's the way I'm growing up.
Yeah. And then, so, I mean, I would call your swing iconic. I'm curious if anyone growing up tried to change it, shorten it, you know, tell you like, hey, you're making it. Like, because you said it took you a few tries to even make contact to hit the ball. Anybody try to tinker with the move you have?
No one tried to change it, just myself.
Yeah.
I just used to think that, let's say the good golf swing like Adam Scott.
Yeah.
Okay. I was dreaming like I couldn't have the golf swing like Adam Scott. If I practiced there, I got swing like him. I can just practice 3 hours per day. But the swing like me, I have to practice 6 hours per day because I need more hitting more to let the memories to remember what's the movement of the bodies compared with Scott, which is like really nice. And, you know, but look other way, if I'm like him, I might not playing golf. He's, you know, he looks good, smart. I'll be somewhere in Hollywood, maybe. I mean, that's why he just walk in the golf course. He's too good for the golf course. I think it's only a sport that, I mean, you're short and big, fat guy can playing.
Yeah.
It's only a sport. I bet you never seen like the guy like me who run around in soccer or basketball field.
Yeah.
For sure. How are you going to run? 90 minutes. Do you imagine?
Yeah.
It's only a sport that I can play. And playing with Scotty, sometimes it looks funny to me. Yeah. Like, what the hell are you doing this?
I know, it's the best.
He should be on the catwalk or somewhere.
Golf needs more swings.
Yeah.
Like yours. I really, I truly believe that.
What was it like at the Olympics then for you? I mean.
Oh, man, when you walk into the village, that all the athletes.
Yeah.
Well, you have to see all the boxer, all the like gymnastic or running guys just go run around. And just, you know, look at them like, what are you doing? Why do you have to run? Why do you have to work out? Man, just sleep. You wake up at 5 or what? We just wake up at 10 and playing 12.
Yeah.
But, and then they eat just like cat eating, you know, yeah. Just, you know, three bite and then done. No, we just eat what you want, ice cream, sweet, whatever it is. They never enjoy life.
Treat yourself. I will tell you that. I love it.
I mean, I don't know how long I'm going to live, though. I just want to enjoy every bite that I take in.
Yeah, for sure. And then back to something you said, growing up, you played a lot of table tennis.
Yeah.
How's your game?
Same with my golf. I can tell. That's good.
Yeah. You're pretty good on the table?
Not bad, but I think I can beat almost everyone.
Yeah. Any? I feel like
you don't have any table tennis. A table.
I don't know.
Table tennis here, right?
I'll have to find one.
Yeah, all right, so I can say whatever it is.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Did you play any of the Thai Olympic table tennis players?
No, I have no chance. It's only golf that I'm playing. I love snooker. Yeah. I love snooker. So.
Pool's huge in Thailand. Billiards, I guess.
Yeah, snooker was really huge in Thailand. It's really popular. It's getting back on the road again. It used to be really popular, and then no any snooker player on the tour, on the field, and then disappear a little bit, a couple of years, and then now we get back and get strong again.
Yeah. So I read an article by Alan Shipnuck, and I think he came and kind of hung out with you in Bangkok a couple of years ago. In there, it sounded like you had a story about a $150,000 car payment that kind of served as a little bit of motivation for you. Were you able to pay off that car?
Well, at the end, I pay off that car, but just a little bit late of the deal that I supposed to pay.
Yeah,
it's really funny story, you know. When I got like example, I can't remember exactly the numbers. I think let's say I got like 1,000, like 10,000 in my bank account. Then you're going in the showroom to get a nice car showroom to get 150,000 car, but depends on the tax. You know, the back home import tax was really expensive, so it's cost like 150. But then me and my dad, just go like reserve, sign the paperwork, everything contract. Then I just realized that I got 10,000 in the bank account.
Yeah, I was like, oh. But man. You got 4 weeks.
Yeah, I got 4 weeks exactly. The deal is 4 weeks. And my next golf event was next 5 weeks. So I went, well, I can't get the money in time for sure, because the golf event gonna happening like a week after the car arrived. Then I was saying, okay, let me go back house for weeks and I'll come back. So the next week I'm going back there, sign paperwork, everything. So the car will be alive on the same day that golf event start. So I know that was the goal for me. So I have to win this. I finished second, I think. But I forgot to look at the prize money.
Yeah.
Even second is not cover the car.
Yeah.
I mean, the worst thing, even I win that week, it's still not cover the car. I was like, oh, shit, what the hell I'm doing? So I keep playing, keep in white, get in white and play every week to get the cash. And at the end, I get it.
Yeah.
But it just take like a month later than that, later than the deal.
You still have the car?
The car was my caddy's at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm driving, my wife was driving. Let's say I'm using there and then I got a new car, I pass it to my wife. Then when my wife got a new car to my sister, I want to keep it so bad because it's a good memories. Mm-hmm. I'm not selling away. I'm just giving to the caddies, that my caddies that we worked together for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
So my caddy was driving Mercedes-Benz back home.
Yeah.
That's some good caddy treatment, right?
Yeah, I love that.
And so have you been working with your caddy for a long time?
For a long time.
Yeah.
About 10 years.
How'd you guys meet?
It's a cool story. Actually, he's not my caddies. He's a friend of my ex-caddies.
Okay.
So my caddy had to go some wedding from his friend's wedding or something. He take off for 2 weeks. And he just get the job by friends, you know.
Yeah.
Get on the back for 2 weeks, just pass down job. And then I win that 2 weeks.
Yeah, both
2 weeks.
2 weeks
in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just recently took up membership on the PGA Tour. Has that always been a goal of yours? And why did you decide to take it up now?
Well, I think it's all about cash, though. Well, it's not. No. PGA Tour was one of the biggest tour. If you're playing basketball is same as you want to be the NBA, you want to be the biggest field in the world, which is PGA Tour. I was dreaming, every kid back home is dreaming to playing on the PGA Tour, but I am dreaming to win on the PGA Tour. It's just make the, how are you saying, it's the new things in Thailand to make the new generation inspire. And it's just to make my bank account inspire as well.
Yeah. So are you setting new crazy goals like you did with the $150,000 car?
Yeah, I do. Well, I was just planning to buy a jet. I just want to be faster than Ian Poulter. Well, he got the huge furry collection, which is all of his house can be like 1,000 horsepower. Like a million horsepower, you know?
Yeah.
Just a lot of good cars. And I can't afford that for sure. I mean, I have to buy a jet to be faster than him. It's just too late for me to start now. And then
have you calculated how many tournaments you'd have to finish second in to buy the jet?
Well, I start thinking about last week that I meet him and go to his house. I think I have to win like 19 PGA Tour events. That include the bonus of the sponsor, maybe. Okay. So I can't afford all the car that he have, but...
Start with this week, the players. That would be a good one. That'd be a good one.
Yeah, I think we better start it right now. I'd be like 19 weeks in a row, and we can go straight.
I noticed the Singa logo on your shirt, and I've been to Thailand a couple times. I may or may not have one of the Singa tank tops because I was one of those backpackers. Don't hold it against me. But I've never seen him on a like kind of a golf shirt. It's always been on like a backpackers tank top.
Well, we got really good relationship and good story with Khun Santit. Pilong Pakdi is the owner of Singa Beer. I'm saying my ice companies, my dad business doesn't go so well when I was a kid. And somehow Khun Santit just jump in and support me when I doesn't have anything. Just pay for the golf, going to play in the golf event. It doesn't mean that he give the money, because when we was a major, we're not allowed to get the money.
But yeah.
He just...
supported you.
Supporting. And, exactly. Just supporting and then, you know, let me survive on this tour. I could say he's my second dad. He's my half of my golf career. And he loved this sport. He loved to give away. It doesn't matter. You have to be good and then they pay you. They pay me when I was like nobody. He's like 12 years old, 10 years old. And they're giving out like 100 kids. And the good thing is they never turn around. They don't walk away. They're just with you. Even one day you retire, they're going to give you work. Just work in the company or work whatever you want. And the things that everyone in the world might be not understanding is just the relationship between me and the companies. We have no contract. And we just, you know, heart to heart, just believe man to man. Many sponsors just been try to walk in and saying like, how much that Singha pay you to be on the shares, which is quite huge number.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, okay, just give me a week or give me a month. I think about that. And I go call whatever I have in my life, which is like a lot. And I telling them they were surprised. I was saying, okay, they give all my life. They give my everything in my life. So if you want to sponsor me, you have to count everything what I got now.
Yeah.
Not including the next jet that's coming.
Yeah.
It's not including that one. But it's, you know,
because you
a
wouldn't
lot. Have, it's huge. Yeah.
You wouldn't have become what you've become without their support at a young age. And you can't ever replace
exactly.
That. That's cool. Who were some of your golf heroes growing up in Thailand?
Tiger. I have to say Tiger.
That's a common answer.
You're not surprised. Well, back in that time in Asia, Tiger is really popular. And he's not just a golf athlete. He's just like a great sport player in my life. I never see anyone be good like him. Was dreaming to playing one same event like him back in the day. Then I can't remember, it's like 2014 or 15. I was playing in the same event. I believe that the PGA Championship is a major. So I was practicing on the end of the range on the left side. And there were a lot of crowd spectator around. I was keep hitting balls and turn around. Ooh, just a lot of people, even on the range. And when Tiger would show up, he walked across the beach, you know, walked out to the right of the range, so opposite of me.
Yeah.
I'm just hitting balls. I know a Tiger is coming. I'm just keep hitting balls and turn around with no one here. No one behind me, not even one.
Yeah.
Not even a bird. And I was talking to my caddy. He's like, either get naked, you know, take my shirt.
Yeah.
No one could have realized.
Yeah.
Then I was talking to all my sweater. It's getting cold. I was just take off my sweater. I turn left and right. No one looking at me. I take off my shirt. What the hell is no one looking at me? No one even laughing at me. I was telling caddies, if I get my trousers off, I get naked and hit balls, no one going to recognize. For sure. Tiger is a god, you know, in this game.
Yeah.
No one can just keep the eye out of him.
They're hypnotized on him. Yeah.
I just really want to know what he eat, what he eat normally, what he doing. I mean, to be like him.
Have you played with him?
No chance. No.
Would you be nervous to play with him?
Oh, yeah. Of course. I was dreaming to be playing with him on the third round, not the final round, because I can give me a day to improve my game back.
Yeah.
I'm sure that I'm kind of playing golf with him, because when you're playing with someone that you love, that's your hero, you keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
You know, how many steps he get in the restroom and, you know, what's the first thing he get in and out? Well, you want to know everything of his movement in the golf course.
Yeah.
I got a chance to talk to him in Mexico last couple of weeks in World Golf. Like on face to face on putting greens, so I was like, "Oh, how are you?" And he asked me, "Oh, you're playing well. And just welcome on the tour." What is this? I was like, "Wow,
that's cool.
That's very cool."
Yeah,
and I feel again. I just can't feel my hand. It's getting nervous.
Yeah,
even he's just talking to me, like a couple words.
Yeah,
but it's really difficult to explain how I feel when I'm meeting him or how I saw him. He's one of the best person that I've seen. He looked bright and shining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So his mom is from Thailand.
Yeah.
Do you think there's like is there pride in that in Thailand? Do you guys feel like that he's?
Yeah, I feel that he half Thai.
Yeah.
But that's for me and for everyone back home feel.
Yeah.
I don't know what he think, but we always know that his mom is Thai.
Yeah.
But I know he doesn't spend a lot of time in Thailand back home for sure. You know, when he moved here when he was a kid. He's not even going to speak any Thai, but we know it. We know it.
Sure.
Well, we played with Arya Jatanagarn last week, and you learned some Thai.
Thai food. I asked her what her favorite Thai dish was, and I tried to pronounce it. And I think it's
Ba Tho Nam Ba.
Yeah.
Ba Tho Nam Ba.
Yeah. Like fish.
Okay. Yeah. It's the deep fried fish with the fish sauce on the top.
Yeah.
Like sour. Yeah.
Does your wife make that dish?
No, not yet.
She's a good cook.
Yeah. Make sure she got that as well. Send it to her. I mean, yeah. Well, she's a good cook. She improving.
Yeah.
She not used to cook, not even one dish, but now she get to working on it.
Yeah.
Because she know that I love to eat in the house. I don't want to go out. I just want to be relaxed, you know, in short or somewhere. And just be yourself, you know, eat in homes. And she's getting there.
Okay. So in the Shipnuck article, it said that your quote was like, I like to have goals, you know, something to chase. And I'm curious if this year you have any specific goals on the course other than, you know, obviously like win, right? Mm. But like, is there anything specific not related to just like winning a tournament that you're working towards?
So finish second. Then not really second. So second from here to end of the year, I'll make like, at least about 7 million.
It's all about the money. Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
It's cash is king. Cash is king. So,
what else do you spend money on?
Cars, watch.
Just cars and watch. Shoes.
Shoes. Yeah. That's a good one. Shoes.
What kind of shoes do you shop for?
I'm a big fan of Yeezy.
Yeah. Can you spot fake Yeezys immediately?
I can. Yeah. I can. Well, I'm not gonna tell you the price because I've been talking back and forward to my wife that it's cheap.
Yeah.
I tell my wife it's cheap. So
she's not going to listen to this. So
well,
I think you're fine.
Well, I will keep thinking maybe she not pay attention to the shoes, to the sneaker. It's cheap. It's like $50. You know?
For the shoelaces.
Some pairs can get like $3,000, but every pair was $50.
Yeah. What about non-golf related goals?
Non-golfer.
Yeah. Off the course. You have any goals?
Well, I want to have a kid.
Yeah.
But it's not coming yet. I've been dead with my wife for 11 years. I've been married for 3 years. It's not happening yet. But I'm working on it. I'm keep practicing. I'm on the making process, but it's not that easy, you know. It's not sharp enough like iron playing.
You're deep in the process.
Yeah. Just, you know, sometimes my iron is like solid, but something it doesn't that solid. So I have to work on it. Maybe the shaft is not strong enough. You have to build a new shaft, maybe.
Listen, that could, you know, you got to experiment with the equipment a little bit. I understand.
I have to work on it. But I got it very soon. I'll let you guys know.
Okay, good.
Two questions. What's the most nervous you've ever been to hit a golf shot?
The most nervous?
Most nervous.
Do you mean which event is that?
Just what shot were you the most nervous for ever in your life?
I think it should be a putt.
Yeah?
Putt to win is the most nervous.
Is it?
Can't imagine which one. Well, I was saying it's the one in Mexico last couple weeks. I just feel like, had to say end of the year, I've been take 6 weeks off away from the golf course for quite long. And then I come back to play well again. I'm start playing golf event again and getting really nervous to get the backswing or putter. I'm finished the round. I just want to measure how heavy my putter is, but it's the same.
Yeah.
I couldn't take a backswing. I know it's so heavy. But, you know, at the end, I just made the job done with like top three in the world golf, which is good point. It's good for me for both tour, even the rest to Dubai and the FedEx point.
What do you think of TPC Sawgrass? You've played here a couple times before in the Players' Championship. What are you expecting this week?
I hate 17.
Why do you hate it?
They hurt me last time. They hurt me a lot. I remember I was like 7 under after 16, uh-huh. and I was up there in the top 10.
And what happened?
I make 7 on a 17. I hit in the water 2 balls. It hurt me a lot. You know what? How bad is that? I stay one more night in Jacksonville, and then I call the golf course that I want to go back play on Monday again. I want to play in 17 hole again.
Wow.
But they turned me down.
Turned even you down for that.
Okay. I got what they mean.
So I got one more question.
Never been the last, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of close to my heart. I see sometimes, you know, there's a few pictures out there of you with the vape. And I'm curious what your favorite flavor is. What do you got in the vape rig?
I like yogurt.
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 Any flavor of yogurt?
Like vanilla yogurt.
Yeah.
I love yogurt. I just love the smell. I give up on the web now, but because wife.
Yeah. You know?
That makes sense.
Yeah, you mean like you never been to somewhere that got a lot of mosquito or flying?
Yeah.
Just flying around your ear. Like, same as a wife. Just keep talking like, right? It's no good, whatever it is. But it just keep talking. And then I was like, one day I just give up because I'm not that healthy. Like I'm saying, I just want to enjoy my life. I'm enjoying my work. I'm enjoying my life. But when you hear it, every minute, you'll get like, oh, okay, I'll give up. Okay.
Yeah.
Just.
Yeah. I got to say, when I was watching you play back in like 2014 and, yeah, you got the cigs out on the course, like I feel you. I know it's not good for it. It's not good.
But I'm not encouraging this. It's
just the fun hobbit, I think.
Yeah.
Just
a fun hobbit. I hear you.
I'm still a little kid from that day.
Yeah.
And coming from really small country back home, so a lot of friends, and we love to do crazy things, a lot of funny things.
Yeah.
Which is some good and some were not good. Yeah. I realized that and I apologize all of the bad things that I do.
Listen, me too.
Just make sure you send that to my wife as well. Yes. I apologize that, but at the end, I try to be a good boy and try to show everyone that I'm an athlete, you know.
Yeah.
Try to be healthy, but I'm not going to run like all the boxers. I'm not going to run, wake up at 5, not that much, but I'll try to be nice and healthy.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for joining us. This was
a lot of fun. Thank you for your time.
Best of luck this week.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Be the right club today.
Yes! Ronnie, that's better than most. How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most! Expect